Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now,
woo! It's 2020, y'all! We are back with the Batwoman After Show, and super excited to discuss all things Batwoman with you today. So, hello, mwah. I am your host, Ellie Gunnar Bradford, joined by this wonderful and amazing lady. Go ahead, Sam.
I am Katie Kawamoto, and I am happy to be back with you guys in 2020.
Yeah, and of course, you're always welcome to join us. Now, today, it's a little bit different. Typically, we're live. You can still co-host with us, but you're going to be leaving comments below and let us know what you thought of today's episode, and we can continue the conversation via social media. So don't forget to do that. And of course, hashtag everything ABTV Batwoman when you're on social media. Now, let's dive in because it is the 10th episode and how queer everything is today. It's a great episode, great theme, but first and foremost, we're going to start with our hashtag badass beast of this episode. Would you like to do the honor of going first?
Yeah, I forgot I did that. All right. So on this one, I was kind of like not quite sure who I thought my badass beast would be, but I'm going to go with Mary.
Oh, you took mine!
Okay, I know, I'm sorry, but it's mainly because her monologue when she goes on social media and she does her like, I'm not going to be on social media for a bit and like trying to cope with stuff, and being someone who has also had to take a step away from social media myself, I found that very realistic and very just like honorable that someone who's whole life is on social media per se, even though she has an alter ego facade. But just her speech about how, you know, mankind, I don't know where my faith in humanity is.
Yeah.
And I know that's a weird way to say that she's a badass, but she was able to be a little bit vulnerable and honest, and I feel like that's a badass thing to do. So
agreed.
Yeah.
High five.
Okay, great. Oh, that was bad. There we go. Okay. All right.
I agree. But for different reasons, I was going to make her my badass beast. And that's because of the fact that throughout whatever she's going through, and you can call it coping, you can call it whatever, but she is dealing with mourning the loss of her mother, but she's still so gung-ho on trying to get her stepfather out. And she's dealing with rejection after rejection. And it's not just any rejection. It's people telling her that she's crazy. And that's hard, you know, especially when she's talking to clinical, like, other doctors. She's studying to be a doctor, and she just wants somebody to give her a chance, and she just keeps going. And the fact that she actually listens to Sophie when she talks about, you know, why don't you talk to Kate? She's dealt with losing a loss of her mother of her own. Mm-hmm. And so finally, come at the end of the episode, when Kate does show up, you know, just everything drops, and she, again, makes herself vulnerable and takes Kate in for this hug. And I was like, oh, my God. It takes so, you know, you take your pride and everything else and your anger, you ball it up and you throw it out the door and just be human.
Yeah. So. And I like that she seems kind of to be the most human part about the show, in my opinion. She seems more human than the rest of the people. She doesn't seem, like, static.
Right.
If that makes sense. I can't think of the right word for it.
Right.
That's what I mean. Yeah. So.
You know what? Since you brought up, let's just talk about Mary. Since she is our badass beast, we'll get into that topic and then we can work our way around into the episode, because I also want to talk about the very beginning. Collecting my life. Hold on. I do that sometimes if you guys don't know me by now. Anyways, so she's trying to figure out all this stuff and let's start over. Kate walks in. We're just going to be calm. Be calm. Kate walks in and why is this happening to me? I'm totally having a... You know what's funny is I'm not nervous. I just have a lot of excitement and a lot to talk about.
Yes.
So I'm like, yeah.
A lot happened in the episode. It's okay.
Exactly. Anyway, Kate walks in. She's trying to be kind to Mary, and Mary is quickly like, I told you so.
Yeah.
Told you. And it's nice that Mary is standing up for herself, because for so long she just wanted Kate to be her sister, and now that Kate's come around, after goofing.
Yeah.
Mary's like, no. So I appreciate the fact that she stands her ground, even though obviously they make up, but it was just nice to see that she's like, I was right.
Yeah, because you haven't seen that friction or the downfall of what happened yet. So I did like, appreciate that moment too, because that's not something you can just be like,
right,
like be done with. So,
well, it's just nice because for so long Mary was trying and be my sister, I just want to be your sister. Yeah. And now she's getting what she wants. Yeah. And she's saying, no, I don't want to be your sister now anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you had your chance, you screwed up, I told you.
Yeah,
your real sister is like loco. So
yeah,
that was that. Okay, now that everybody at home is probably like, and what is your problem? Let's move on to Parker.
Okay.
She's such a huge chunk of this show. Now, did you anticipate the hacker to be somebody who was that young?
Not at all.
Who do you think it was? Or if you could guess.
I was trying to, like, think of who I thought it would be when we were watching. And at first I was wondering if maybe it was someone Alice hired to do her bidding.
Mm-hmm.
But then that led me to why did she do this? This doesn't make sense other than, you know, drawing Batwoman out.
Mm-hmm.
But then after that, when they're like, oh, it's a girl.
Right. Part of me was like, yeah, it's a girl. And then she's a bad person. But still, not really.
Although we could have said she was a badass, because I mean, she is a hacker and super hella smart.
Right.
But, you know, she is a villain, so.
Ish,
yeah.
We can chalk it up to the fact that she's young and dealing with a lot.
Yeah.
And her motives got her carried away.
Yes.
But that's a little bit extreme.
Yes.
And I will say, she and her whole, like, so this episode was a great theme. Obviously, they really wanted to talk about just owning who you are, be who you are. And of course, this show being the first ever show with a queer lead character that is also a superhero, it's like they owe it to the show and to the viewers to make something themed around that.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely came out of the left field for me in regards to the storyline this season.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
Kind of. Like, this episode in particular, just that whole entire
section of the... I'm not mad at it. I loved it. Yeah. It was just so interesting because we're on this track about...
No, yeah.
Dad's going to jail. Mom just got killed. Alice did it. Da-da-da. And then, like, out of nowhere, we have this whole, like, embrace who you are and blah, blah,
blah,
blah,
blah. I get
blah, blah,
you,
blah.
Yeah.
Again, great. It was just so out of the blue.
Like, a small little, like, tangent. But not, like, not necessarily a bad one, but just, no, like, not at you're all, like, but yeah. Oh, we're going, okay.
That's gotcha. What we're doing today. Yeah. Cool.
Maybe that's because as a new show, they didn't want to push it so hard in, like, everybody's faces right at the beginning. That's
makes
my,
sense.
Like, my one guess about it.
That's great.
So, you know, because I know some people would be like, oh, like, they're pushing this, you know, they'll still
they're
say
preaching.
Agenda So maybe that was just a decision that they said, you know, we're going to put this on the back burner for a second and let the show speak for itself for a bit before we get into the heavier,
right.
The heavier topics.
I love that you said that. And I think you're so right, because when this show did first come out, you have a lot of people that came in, they watched it and they just wanted to see what it was about. And then you've got your people that... No offense, but they're a little bit more closed-minded, and they came right out the bat, like, swinging.
Yeah.
No pun intended. But do you know what I mean? And now that we got rid of all those people who are like, I'm not going to watch this show because, LGBTQ, stupid. Now we can...
Like, yeah, let's do this now.
Yeah, for the people who are diehard fans that see this as just a show.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's just a show that is telling the truth about what our world looks like today.
Yeah. Now, I mean, all shows like this have a commentary in some sense. So,
yeah.
Yeah. No. So, but originally I was just, it did seem a little
random,
disconnected at first, like a little bit, just like a random way to distract you. But then it didn't. They did tie it in with, like, still bringing Alice into it too. So at first, when they didn't bring, when they brought Alice into it, then you were able to see that they're still doing that, making sure it fits cohesively with Batwoman. In what we've led up to this point.
Right.
So.
Did you think also, too, that Parker's intention was what it was?
Not at all.
Right?
Yeah. Well, I think in my notes I typed that literally the villain was an emotional teenager. And I get that she's going through stuff. I totally get that. And I'm glad that they did that. But I wasn't expecting that to be the bad, big bad of the week at all. Well, so
yeah. I was like, okay, first of all, I think it's fantastic that you were able to hack all this stuff, but not fantastic because that's really unsafe.
Yeah.
However, what if, you know, by some fraction of a chance she didn't push the button in time to stop the train?
Everybody had died?
Including herself.
Yeah.
Which I guess at that point she was so emotional.
Didn't care. Yeah.
But still, when Batwoman stopped the train, it was maybe this many inches. For those of you listening onto the podcast, I'm not holding my fingers that wide. Yeah. It was only a few inches from that brick wall. When were you going to push the dang button?
Yeah. And also, physics. Like, does she, you know, acceleration? You have to stop it first. Faster before it gets the last minute. It can't stop that at that fast of a speed. So she can hack, but she doesn't.
Maybe, she failed that class.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's what happened. She got an F. She skipped. But yeah, it seemed a little bit extreme to be proving her parents. I get it. Like, I get it. When your parents don't pay attention to you, it hurts, and you will do anything possible to A, pay attention to you, but B, get them to pay attention to you in a loving way.
Yeah.
When they disowned you. You know, she had made mention of the fact that her parents now are praying for her, holding a rosary at night, and it's like, I'm not going on a tangent, but there is this thing called praying the gay away, which is awful, awful, awful. Great that they brought it up in a light way.
They're bringing it up. They're addressing the issue.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But then I also thought, too, when she was demanding money, I'm like, $5 million to skip town? Like, what?
Yeah.
That was weird. And the teenage touch to it was a GoFundMe page to get the money.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Certain things, like when you finally know she was a teenager,
it makes sense.
It made more sense. You're like, it's a lot exaggerated.
Right.
Overly exaggerated in a different way. So. But it was not something I saw coming. So good on them for that.
I was going to say, good on the writers, too, for making those little essence of her in what she was doing. Mm-hmm. But going back to, I love the speech that she gave. And it was not funny, haha. Funny, ironic.
Yes.
That she's giving this whole entire speech to Kate Kane about, you have no idea. You have no idea what it's like to be like me. And blah, 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 blah. Kate's like,
girl,
if you only knew, like, I got kicked out of freaking
military academy.
But she's also preaching to somebody who has a completely different support system at home.
Yes.
She didn't have to deal with that.
Yeah.
Ish. Her dad sent her off, but
yeah
whatever. Anyhow, so that's that. That's my thing on Parker. And when they wove into what's his slam, I'm like, what's his slam? Officer Slam? I don't know if that was his real name, but Mr. March, that kept on ending up at the right place at the right time.
Oh, yeah, the cop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, what a douche, first of all. Because, like, when he saved Kate and he leaned in, and as soon as press came, he's like, ting, with his smile.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I couldn't take it.
But what killed me was the second time around when she saved him, and they're like, kiss, kiss, kiss. And he's trying to kiss her. I'm like, bitch, you know that you are not in a relationship with her. You're so taking advantage.
Yeah.
Douche.
Probably why they were calling him Captain America, which also was interesting, like a jab at Marvel there. That was interesting.
Right.
I was surprised they mentioned a Marvel character in that situation. I was like, is that going to cause problems? But I don't know.
Ooh, maybe. Ooh. I don't know.
I like that sound effect.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So going back to Kate, and she's trying to figure out if she should come clean because she feels like a fraud. And Luke is sort of right in the fact that he's like, it's such a great decoy because everybody knows that Kate Kane is lesbian. And they're never going to suspect, if Batwoman is dating Captain America, that you are Kate Kane. She's like, yeah, but it's a catch-22 because I get it. Like, she wants to be true to herself. But at the end of the day, when you're a superhero and you're in disguise, you're not yourself.
Yeah.
That's the point. It's supposed to be a double identity.
Yeah. I understood his reason, like his thinking it was a good thing. Because everybody's identity, especially in DC, it's always super subtle. Like, how does no one know that this person is so-and-so. Right. So when he said those words, I was thinking that's actually a good way to look at it. That yeah. not everyone's going to think. Because if you are doing this, they're not, they're sort of like, well, it can't be Kate Kane. Like, right. she's a lesbian. So
right.
he thinks, I think, in a more, in a different way than she does, in the sense that he's thinking of it as the, what it's going to be in the press, what it's going to right. be publicity, and trying to protect her.
Right.
But she's not really one of those types of people.
Right.
Like, she's not one to have someone else be like trying to protect her and stuff like that. She right. wants to do what she wants to do, and she wants to protect herself. So it's just, I think that they just see the whole disguise in different ways and have right. different reasoning behind it.
Right.
So I did like that conversation and approach to,
yeah.
to it. So
I think it's hard for Kate, because in Kate's personality, she's always been like, this is who I am. Mm-hmm. I'm an open book, because she came out when she was a kid.
Yeah.
So for her putting on this suit, it was one thing. But then when the press is labeling her another, I think that it's hard for her to be like, but that's not who I am. You guys, yeah. I'm not that. And I'm yeah. not going to let you put me in a box.
Yeah.
But it tied in nicely with the whole mm-hmm. story with Parker. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not mad at that.
Yeah. It was good.
Let's talk about Alice.
Alice. All right. But before that, though, I want to say thank you to everybody who is watching us via YouTube, or if you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify Podcasts. We appreciate it so much. And because of you, we are here, and we love talking to you folks and about the shows that you love. And there's so many shows here at AfterBuzz. And so if you do like, please like and subscribe on YouTube, or give us a little comment or rating on Apple Podcasts. It helps us continue to give you those shows. And thanks so much for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Ding. Woo woo. All right. I'm excited to talk about Alice because, you know, she's such a complex character. I've mm-hmm. always liked her, but I think I'm a little bit biased in that instead of looking at her from just like the story perspective, I'm also looking at her as an actor. And I keep watching this woman and going, oh my gosh, she is amazing. I love her at this character. Excuse me, as this character. But then in actuality, when I think about what the character is doing, she's out of her mind.
Yes.
And I think this episode finally solidified it for me, which sounds stupid because it's so blatant. But I think this forced me to have to go, okay, she's like 8 screws loose in terms of the way she thinks. She honestly thinks she's doing these great things and helping Kate to become her sister again. But then that just makes me really wonder, and I don't know about you, but doesn't that make you wonder what the hell happened to you in that house?
Yes. To the second part of that, I definitely am wondering what happened to make you this way.
Right.
But on the other side of it, that's what makes her such a good villain, is a good villain, you can, for a small moment, empathize with their reasoning as to why they are acting the way they are. Be it right. family, be it friends, be it love. Like, there's always a reason.
Of course.
And it's just the way that they go about it that's wrong. And so that's why Alice is so good, because for a second, it makes sense. She wants her sister.
Right.
Ooh, but the way she... that's the problem.
Right.
So I think... But you realized it for the first time that she's crazy, and just like Kate did.
Look, for lack of better words, she's batshit crazy.
Yeah, like, and Kate finally realizes it too.
Yeah.
For the first time, because that was the whole thing with her and Mary, is she can't realize it, that this woman is not there. She's,
but yeah. And the fact that she keeps on putting people's lives at risk, but the whole thing with Parker and tying Parker in and kidnapping Parker is, in her mind, she's like, if I destroy your reputation, then you have to be with me. If I make you look like a non-hero, because you're not a fucking hero. Sorry. You're not a hero. You're not a hero. You belong with me and my family.
Yeah.
And the wild thing is then you've got Alice saying, why can't you accept me for me? Accept me for me. And then we got this other parallel theme of like being LGBTQ and having your parents accept you for you. You're just like speechless.
Yeah, I was, because this episode was all over the place. So
it really
was.
It's
so hard to center my brain a little bit on it, because it did bump back and forth between all these different little subplots.
Right.
like trying to add to Alice and her, and while dealing with this personal mm-hmm. way that you're trying to deal with things. So
it's yeah. interesting because we were just talking about before we started the show, it's even though the show opened with a big train sequence where yeah. it was about to crash and you're supposed to be high adrenaline, it started off slow for me.
Yes.
And then towards the end, it's like, boom, 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 boom. And all these things story-wise start happening. They're like, okay, great. Like, this is going somewhere. I really yeah. appreciate it.
Yeah.
So, but in all that, too, we've got Dad who's been locked in jail this entire time. And it feels like Dad's just accepting the situation and not even trying to fight it. And for me, I wonder if that's because somewhere deep down there is a bit of guilt resonating because of whatever misdeeds his wife was involved with, or maybe there's things that we don't know about, or it's him possibly just punishing himself because of everything that's happened with Alice. You know how some people do yeah. that? Like, they are wrongly being punished, but it's the only way they can be punished for something that mm-hmm. they're feeling guilty about.
Yeah, I think it was a bit of all those things. He is, in my opinion, probably one of the most moral people on the show, in the sense that he has a moral compass, and like if he knows something wrong, he is going to feel guilty about it.
Mm-hmm.
Afterwards, he may not feel it right away, but now that he has time to be alone in a cell, he's thinking about all those things and being like, yeah, okay, I'm where I'm supposed to be, type of thing. I can yeah. definitely see him being that person. Yeah. If he sees hope later on, then maybe we'll see a change. But right now, I think he's just trying to take it day by day and be like, this is what it is.
Right.
Someone has to pay for the crimes my wife did, too. He could also right. be thinking that, like, she can't serve him. She's dead.
Right.
So maybe he thinks that it's his responsibility as well, that right. someone pay for it. So, because we know justice is important to him.
Right.
So, yeah.
I was worried for him, though. Yeah. Just because of the fact that, and it's interesting, he got put in prison with a bunch of people that he's put away in prison, mm-hmm. which is clearly a safety issue. But I guess once you quote-unquote kill someone, who cares if you're safe? Is my assumption. I don't think that's really how prisons it does work-ish. I don't know. I've not been to prison.
I think we'll see more later on with that.
Mm-hmm.
But since it was the mid-season premiere, and they just piled so much stuff, we kind of lost a little bit of his story.
Mm-hmm.
But I think maybe we'll get more into it when the rest of the shows continue to pick up. So I think it's just a timing issue mostly.
Right.
Because we saw the start of it, you know, the razor blade in his food and stuff. Like, there's clearly people who are not happy with him being there.
Or right.
also kind of happy he's there, but at the same time very upset.
Right.
The guy is like, just drops right. the phone because he's like, it's your turn. It's not my turn right. for the phone. He's like,
yeah.
So there's definitely some.
But you know what's okay? So the guy who played the gentleman in jail,
yes.
As much as he was supposed to be a prisoner and he was mean or whatever, something about his essence I wasn't buying as a mean guy.
Yeah,
and that's not anything offensive to the actor. It's just something about him. I'm like, you're a mean guy, but you're sort of like a teddy bear.
Yeah, I get that. I can get that. I didn't get super intimidated vibes by him.
No.
Yeah.
Anyway, so also I want to dive into Sophie because she is somebody who confided. While everyone's living their truths and sharing their truths, so does Sophie. And she has already gotten past the point where she thought Batwoman was Kate. Then she didn't think Batwoman was Kate because of some other things. And then also with Officer Slam, then that really solidified it's not Kate. So I'm going to go ahead and let you know that I'm dealing with this thing with my husband. And I don't know, maybe in my own way, I am denying my truth. And I was like, well, all right.
I was a little bit shocked that she confessed that because, yeah, I thought that was going to last a little longer for her to admit that to someone.
Right.
So that kind of took me off left field that she, you know,
said it. Well, of all people, yeah. to Batwoman.
Yeah.
Like, you would have thought she would have had that conversation with Mary or someone that she knew yeah. a little bit better.
Not someone she didn't know for right. sure who it was.
And know. Because Mary had been calling her out this whole entire season about, you know, you really hurt my sister. You know this one, blah, 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 blah. Like, mm-hmm. all these things, the logical person to talk to about it would have been Mary.
Yes.
So
it, maybe because Mary was just dealing with so much other stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
But I also am glad that Sophie is dealing with that in her own way.
Yeah.
And that she admitted the fact that because she roughed up that one guy. Mm-hmm. And part of me was like, whoa, what's happening? And yeah. then she said it herself. Like, she's just dealing with so much with her husband. But I think it's more so, yeah, I'm sad that my boo is gone. But I think I now have to face who I really am. And it's something that I've been running away from for so long. So how do I do this?
Yeah. It was a very, like, another kind of vulnerable moment in the sense that she was mentioning being or does it terrify you? And she's mm-hmm. like, I don't know if it's that or if it terrifies me. And how often do we try to not think about something because it scares us? So it was just a very raw, like, I feel like the most real we've seen is Sophie B and most honest. And I think that's why it was weird, because obviously anybody who watches our show knows that we're not big supporters of Sophie as a character. We don't love her too much, but she's redeeming herself a little bit in this episode,
right?
Which is nice, because I just could not stand her before.
Right.
I hate saying it. I just don't know why I didn't like her, but at least with this, we are seeing her start to grow as a character and realize what path she set people down.
I think that they are molding her to be the main love interest eventually, but she does have to have her road to get there, because you always have to have the conflict where the two loves can't be together until like season three or something like that.
Attention.
So she's got to figure out her life.
Yeah.
But Kate already has her life figured out. And you made a great point about the article that was written. So I'm going to let you talk about
it. Yeah. So at the end, they finally, Batwoman does decide to do an interview with, I forget the name of the magazine.
Catco, I think,
It's the magazine that Kara Danvers, Kara, right?
Yeah.
Kara Danvers, aka Supergirl,
wrote
an, so she did, sat down with her to do the piece where she came out. And so that's how the episode ended, was with Batwoman officially announcing that she was gay. And so, and that was a little Easter egg, because she went to Kara to do it, which is another Easter egg for Supergirl. So, and that's someone who she knows, and she's known longer than most of the others, right? Like, she met her earlier on than she met some of the other people, right?
She was in the crossover, not this past year, but the year.
2 years ago.
Yeah. And she was an Arrow.
Yeah.
They were all connected.
Yeah, and she kind of has a good relationship with Kara, though, from what I saw of the crossovers. Mm-hmm. So I just thought that was an interesting little Easter egg that they threw in, that they're like, hey, they're still connected. Mm-hmm. Don't worry. Like, even though the crossover is over, they're still in contact. They're still in connection. They did mention Oliver Queen. So they are doing a good job at trying to at least somewhat reference those things. And so it was a good way to end it, though, because even though she did make that choice and he may not have approved of it, she made the choice that she needed to make. And, you know, it was cool.
Right.
It was good. And it was a little cool way of doing it.
So. And at the end of the day, she turned around and then she inspired Parker.
Yes, correct. Yeah. So it showed Parker reading it, right?
Well, she came in, and then also, too, Parker then had to serve her time for doing what she did, which is pretty light. It's only 150 hours of scrubbing some confetti.
Graffiti.
Yeah. Wow.
And paying back the people. Of course. But I mean, that just means the money that she was given, she has to give it back.
Right.
But, yeah. I'd be more worried about that, honestly, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then she offered... I wonder if we're going to see more of this character, because when Parker first walked into the office, immediately I was like, is this going to be our version of a Robin? Is she now going to be part of the team? But obviously not yet, if she is. But Ruby left the door, not Ruby, call her by her real name. Kate left the door open for her, saying, you know, if you ever want to talk to somebody, if you need anything, whatever, I'm here. You can come to me. And how cool is that, to know that you can go to Batwoman for advice in your personal life? That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
All right. I feel like we talked about a lot of this episode. We covered most things. We don't ever chat live, unfortunately, right now, so we can't go to their questions.
Yeah, sorry, folks.
But that's okay, because we got a lot of good juicy stuff to share. So first, we're going to go back to hashtag our badass bees.
Roar! I love the sound of that.
I know. and then we changed it up just a little bit. So we were using our real life examples.
Yes, correct.
But now we're going to keep it in the show a little bit, because every individual cast member does something in their everyday lives that makes them a badass bees. And why not highlight it here? So today we're going to talk a little bit about Ruby Rose. So first and foremost, we have a video that I'd like you to take a look at. This actually came out, I want to say, in 2014. Typically, there is music playing behind it, but that's okay because you get the visual effect. And I'll explain to you what's going on. So for a very long time, Ruby Rose had a hard time dealing with her sexuality and being told, you know, grow your hair out and be more feminine and whatever, whatever. And she did temporarily. She actually worked for MTV in Australia. She was a VJ host, you know, and she grew her hair out and this, that, and the third. She just felt like she wasn't being herself. And, you know, she's a model and stuff like that. Yeah. And so finally, after just doing what everybody wanted her to do, she said, fluff it. I want to be myself. And that's what she looks like now. And she accepted an award actually at one point in her life. And she had said to other people, like, look at me now. Like, I told you guys I was going to do something great. To anybody who bullied me for being androgynous or what have you as a younger person, look at me now. And so as that plays, if you are listening to us, on iTunes, be sure to look on YouTube to find this, because it's Ruby starting off really, really feminine and then just like cutting all her hair off, wiping off all the makeup, uncovering her tattoos. And then I want to read this little blurb really quick. So one of the things she said is when she was in her teens, she tried to be feminine. Her mom was pushing her to do modeling and everyone kept saying, like, I'm a pretty girl. And then one day it just got too much and she shaved her head and she said, F you to everyone who thought I needed to look a certain way. And she got bullied after that. She said that she found herself in really dangerous situations. One guy at one point hit her and he said that normally I wouldn't hit a girl, but you're not a girl. And then she said she also used to be really afraid. She said she remember being 4 years old and binding her breasts at four, like with an ace bandage, because she was so afraid she didn't want her boobs to come in. Mm-hmm. Because obviously she just didn't feel, you know. Anyways, so amen to her for just owning who she is. And then this video was not meant to be this big, huge, successful thing at the time. She was mostly just known in Australia. And she's like, oh, you know, maybe a few hundred thousand of my Facebook fans will see this. Mm-hmm. And it ended up going viral.
Yeah.
And being watched over and over again. So just wanted to share that with all of you. And it worked perfectly with today's theme about owning who you are.
Yeah. Not only that, but I think it was also the fact that she had all her tattoos covered and then revealed, because there's also stigma about people having lots of tattoos,
yes,
too. So I think that was another reason why it went viral, too, was in that sense that it was saying, hey, you can have lots of tattoos, too, and that's beautiful and that's fine and just be who you are as well. So because I remember seeing this like a while ago, right? It came out a while ago,
2014.
Right? Okay, that's what I thought. I remember seeing this. So nice.
Either way.
Yeah.
All right. And then we also have some pictures, being that, of course, she is from Australia. Excuse me. If you go onto her Instagram, she has a post of just a vacation she recently took. But you can see that in the sky, there's quite a bit of smog. Not smog, but fog. Smoke. Thank you. From the fire. And if you can read it, awesome. If you can, I'll just read a little bit. But basically, she donated $50,000 to numerous fire brigades around the country and wildlife organizations, which I commend her.
Yeah.
But she is just encouraging other people to just be more aware and be more conscious and, like,
yeah,
you know, global warming is real. I don't want to preach, but it's real, people. And she's talking about that there.
Yeah.
So that's that. Let's get into news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Fun. So news and gossip. We're going to talk about Megan Tandy, who we all know and love is Sophie. She's going to be coming to Tampa, Florida for QFX May 29th and 31st in 2020. So if you are in Florida, be sure to swing on by. If you're not in Florida, maybe you want to get tickets. We're giving you the notice in advance, so that way you can make plans ahead of time. But if you're not familiar with QFX, it is actually the equivalent of a Comic-Con, but it's specifically for LGBTQ to be inclusive and make events accessible for queer fans and celebrate LGBTQ content. So, of course, it makes total sense that she's going here. So, anyway, just wanted to share that with you guys so you can make some plans. But some fun facts about Megan Tandy is that she actually used to be a pageant queen. She was Miss California, and she was one of the top five for Miss America. I want to say this is 2016 or 2017. So it's a little bit of a TBT for you guys, look at her. She looks so young.
Yeah.
And if you're on iTunes, by all means, Google these photos and all this information. You can see what we're talking about. So that's that. That's my quick little news piece. Let's get into predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Girl.
I have no idea. I was trying to think of something.
I mean, I predict that Alice is just a little bit crazy out of her mind. And that we saw in the preview that, quote unquote, Beth comes back.
Yeah.
And, you know, these teasers are pretty tricky when they show us little snippets. And they make you think one thing and you watch the episode and it is so different.
Yeah.
But from what I gather, first of all, Beth's like, I just came back from college. Girl, did you go to college late? What's going on here?
Because she's like, you've still been gone for, what, 15 years?
Yeah, I guess so. But they showed the picture of her as Beth. And I'm like, okay, so you put on a brown wig and you're Beth now. Are we sociopathic? Are we psychopathic? What is happening? Like,
yeah, like, we don't know that it's not actually Alice, for one.
Well, and then you got the little clip, audio clip of Kate saying, my wish came true, like her birthday wish.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, are we doing this whole, like, infinite Earth thing? What would she, like, what? So I'm curious. Leave comments below, because I want to know what your predictions are. If you think that it is Beth from another Earth. If you think that it just happens to be Alice, who's just out of her mind and trying anything she can desperately to get Kate to be in her life, that's the team I'm on.
I kind of like that idea. I don't know that it is that, but it, like a schizophrenic type thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, there's another Beth running around and Mouse actually put Beth's face on some other chick who is Alice and this whole time, because Kate was trying to like tear off her face and be like, is this you? So
I didn't even think about that, because we don't know where Mouse is.
He's around. He was ready to push the button on the detonator.
Yeah. So that's a good prediction too.
Thanks. I mean, yeah. You know.
Yeah.
I drop. Yeah. So did I leave you with anything to predict, or are you like,
I like both of the first and third one. Because we don't know where Mouse is,
yeah.
I'm gonna go the prediction that it is a fake mask and that it's someone else pretending to be Beth, and that was a plan that they made all along in case if she gets arrested.
Good.
That'll be my prediction.
Nice.
So.
Cool. Well, we got our predictions in. I'm going to turn to the front so you can see both of us. Thanks for joining us. We're so glad to be back in 2020 and glad to have you to continue the conversation. And have patience with me as my mouth does these weird things that spits out a lot of words. So please continue the conversation. Join us on social media. I'm at yours truly, Ali Kona, with little underscores in between. Find me on Instagram, because that's really where I'm at, more likely.
And I'm Katie. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at KT_Christine. I am active on both. And if you guys do have your predictions or thoughts and you don't want to comment on the YouTube, you can tweet me and I'll try to respond to as many as possible. And we will see you next week.
That's right.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only, do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or businesses.